Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Well, girls, tonight we are really privileged to have Dr. Danny Holland with us. Let's give a virtual round of applause to Dr. Danny Holland.
What
an honor to have you with us, just to shed some light and some wisdom in these times that we're facing. And I think, Alyssa, you wanted to kick off some questions to Dr. Danny.
Maybe to start with, can you tell us, for those that maybe don't know you, a little bit about yourself, what you do?
Sure. So, I am a licensed professional counselor here in the area in Virginia Beach area. And I work with couples and families and children and do a lot of different work to just kind of walk with people through some really difficult times. I've worked at, most of my life in the helping professions, a lot of it in churches, working in ministry, and then now working with people more directly with some more significant issues and marriage work and helping people just kind of, try to kind of get through life and get through a lot of sticky parts of things and try to make the best of it. So that's what I'm doing.
Yay. Awesome. We, again, are really excited to have you.
Oh, it's an honor to be here. It really is. Thank you.
Yeah, especially right now when it's, you know, just a little bit of craziness and we're trying to figure out how to manage our world and our families and our life, honestly. So
And maybe to kick this off, first question is mainly for me because I'm a mom. How would you say, what's a great way to help kids through this pandemic? What does that kind of look like? How do you manage explaining to them what's going on without instilling fear in them?
Well, you know, it's what's important with children is to kind of maintain your relationship with them. Really make sure you're having that connection and spending that time with them because, you know, communication back and forth is what's critical. So make sure you have those avenues of connection too. And one thing we need to remember as parents is we've got to flatten our own curve.
Right.
You know, we have to manage what's going on inside of us with concerns, fears, stress. That is something that we can transfer to our children. You know, so we teach kids what we know,
right?
But we reproduce who we are. We impart more than that. Now, that's a good thing because sometimes our kids don't necessarily understand what we're saying, you know, but we can impart that we care for them and they can capture the whole picture here. So when we manage ourselves and we don't have that worry about us, it's a lot easier for kids to realize things are okay. And that's one thing we want to do in the whole story of what we tell them about this season. We want to make sure we're communicating safety and what's going on that's positive too, that we're all in this together. It's going to be okay. So we have to separate that fact from fear for them, you know, and avoid those reactions we can have and really respond. So we're in a season where everyone's lost control and we have to create this new normal. Right. And that's a very difficult thing to do a lot of times. And so, you know, helping them focus on what is strong, helping them focus on what is positive in this season right now and kind of framing the story of what's going on through that lens. So, you know, when we're explaining COVID, that we really want to make sure we are understanding what our kids know about the season we're in. So listening to them and finding that out. I have a client who has a kindergartner and went back and talked to their son and said, do you understand what's going on right now? And he said, yeah, mom, I know exactly what's going on. And she said, so you kind of get what's going on and, you know, that you can, you know, you have that connection. And she said, yeah, I know exactly. I know what's going on, mom. And she said, well, what's your understanding of that? And so he said, so yeah, I when the last day of school, I had a really annoying booger and I picked it and I put it on the chair. And because of that, they had to stop all the schools to make everybody safer, you know? And so good thing she asked because this boy thought everything that was going on across the world was because of a booger that he put on a chair in his classroom. So you got to ask the questions because sometimes we assume that they know certain things, you know, and they don't know. So as honest as we can be, start with that transparency, that honesty, you know, validate. It's okay to feel like you're feeling. This is not okay. This is not normal. It's going to feel different, you know, and again, just make that conversation ongoing. It doesn't need to be one sit down moment. It can be this something that we engage with them on as well too, because we've all lost control. We've all lost a level of functioning control in our lives, you know, and so helping them regain that the best we can is really good through that lens of safety, security, you know, and just kind of having that sense of communication with them.
Yeah, awesome. You know, what do you do, Danny, with families and, you know, the kids are super social, you know, all their activities are obviously non-existent. And they're just, you can tell that they're really suffering in a way because they're not around friends and just having that interaction. I mean, I think, I feel like in some ways we're a little bit technology fatigued. We're on Zoom calls all the time. And so how do you help your kids, you know, in that their kind of their emotional world, I guess?
Yeah, so they're not having that connection. They've lost that ability. We have to realize that when this hit, you know, this was similar to driving down a road and then you see something in front of you and you just know it's something's wrong. You take your foot off the gas. What lane should I be in? You know, and you kind of, you know, you were thinking about what the traffic's going to be like on the way to Richmond. And now you're thinking about how do I get through this intersection? And the entire world has done that, where we've all taken our foot off the gas and looked around and said, okay, what's, you know, whatever direction we were going in life, whatever things were positive and fun, everything is on pause. What are we doing right now? And so even our children have had that experience where a lot of the things they have done, where they have connection, where they develop a routine, all of that has been disrupted. And so understanding that disruption a little bit is critical, that we can be empathic and listen, really kind of immerse ourselves in their experience and hear what they're saying. So really seek to understand them, you know, their loss of control, the loss of predictable things, some of the fears, and just realize, like I said, it's okay for them not to feel okay. They are relational in those areas, but we can respond to that in a way where we can help them create new avenues the best we can, but help them understand this is a season where we have some boundaries and help to understand those. And now there may be areas we can compromise with them connecting at some level, especially as we come out of this a little bit, but help them understand why the boundaries are there and some of the why behind it, and then reassure them it's going to get back to a normal. It's going to get back to the way things were. We have to wait for that and try to figure out what we can do to maintain safety for our community, for ourselves, for our family. And then one thing that's really helpful at some level, if we can give them a level of control and help them make some decisions. We can do this or this. We can connect like this, or we can kind of do something like this. Give them a little bit of control and allow them to, again, have some feeling of direction in this so they can create some new avenues of connection for this season, you know, and kind of go through that. But, and remember, as a family, if we can model that, that's good. It's really tough for kids to understand the boundaries if we're not following them ourselves. And we kind of are out doing different things. And it's kind of like, well, you do this, can I do this type of thing, depending on the age. But, you know, and I think just letting kids know that, you know, we know by now this is not a blizzard we're dealing with. And this is the winter. It's a season, you know. And as we come out of this, we're going to continue to adapt, find the things that are strong, find ways to connect within the boundaries what we have, and then implement those. And, you know, just, you know, realize it's not okay. It's okay to feel not okay about this. And let's figure out what we can do. Let's focus on what we do have some control over.
That's good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Another question for you. This is not for me. Maybe a little bit for me.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. But let's say that you are, we're talking to all the women tonight. So as a woman, you are in a season where you're navigating a lot of different things. Many people are working from home now and trying to homeschool and have kids at home, husbands at home. It can be very stressful. How do you ensure that that stress that maybe we're feeling doesn't translate, or our families don't suffer from that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are all new moving parts. Everything has changed. There are three things we need to maintain a level of well-being with our stress levels. There's basically three things we need. One of them is physical activity. Just be physical in your body helps maintain. The second one is controlling your thoughts, where you're some kind of meditation or mindfulness, or just managing your thought process and just managing the stress, the anxiety. The third one is the one I want to focus on, though, and that is predictability and control. Okay. That has been extremely disruptive right now. And what you're describing is everything in the home had a rhythm to it. Right. And now everything is off and everything is has to be redefined in a new way, you know, and the stress for that can be really, really difficult. Like any container we have like this, there's a level of capacity we have for stress. When that capacity gets to near the top, we really start to feel that. And naturally, by the way we have been managing stress previous to this, you know, it's all changed. A lot of those things we were doing have changed. So we really have to understand ourselves, though, about that stability. You know, we have to understand that control and predictability and its impact. And then what we can do is look at what we can control. Look at everything around us and say, what do I have influence over?
Right.
What do I have control over? And then what we do is we begin to prune our energy. We don't invest energy we have into things that we have no influence over, worrying about different things, about when will this be over. Those are things we may have thoughts of. We don't want to invest a lot of energy into them because we have no control over those things. Right. So in the home, saying, what do we have influence over? What can we control? And then pruning our energy. You know, we have enough sap inside of us to be productive and produce fruit. We have enough to produce everything God's called us to do in our lives and to make it through these seasons. Mm-hmm. But we have to cut away the branches, cut away the thoughts, cut away the avenues that are not producing fruit. Mm-hmm. So we have the energy to intentionally direct into areas. And one of the key things we can do, Alyssa, is that we need to really develop internal anchors. And this is really critical. A lot of us have built worlds around us externally of things that support us.
Right.
You know, like if we're sleeping in the bay tonight on a boat, we wake up in the morning and the birds are flying, the sun comes up and it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, that's a beautiful thing. But if the wind shifts and the water starts really shaking, it can be life threatening to us. And so a lot of us develop our lives in a way where if our significant other is okay and the kids are doing what they're supposed to be doing, and you didn't get a call from the school today about assignments not being turned in, then everything's okay then. But we can't anchor our wellness to things external during this season. There's too many moving parts. And even with the best, well-meaning, most stable partners, we can't link our well-being to them. It's just too much weight to put on that. So we have to develop internal anchors. We need to be okay because of the connection we have with God, because of the things we have control over that we are investing in. And so making sure we're okay internally allows us to, even though there's some chaos externally, it doesn't need to control our emotions, you know? So again, really focusing on those things. And another thing in the home, focusing on what is strong, not what's wrong, not only putting out fires, but this is going well. We have this routine. We have this to be able to do. Look at the things that we really have that are working that we can refine. What tools are we bringing? What's in our inventory of what we have that's working, we have access to? And how can we utilize that and leverage that in this season? So we want that intentionality to go toward that. We don't want the external things to dictate, you know, where our energy goes and just kind of trying to problem solve constantly. Yeah. We want that system around us. We want to build that self-care, the things we can do. We used to have it more naturally. There were gyms were open.
Right.
We would like to go eat. Now we don't have those things. So we have to look inwardly and say, okay, what can I develop to make sure I'm taking care of myself? And so, you know, the whole airplane thing, putting the mask on yourself and then help your child, you know, if they drop, take care of you, make sure you're in a good place. And then you can externally kind of be that support to others too. But managing that stress yourself, making sure you're okay, controlling what you can control. Those are things we can do to really manage that stress and then try to make sure that's not influencing those closest to us.
That's really good. And I also liked when you were talking about mindfulness, you know, just for me, just meditating on scripture has been really important this season.
Oh, definitely.
I've read a whole lot more and meditated on scripture a whole lot more, because when you're in a pinch, you know, I always like just to remind myself of God's promises, but when you're in a pinch, it's almost like, well, what did he promise? What did he say? You know? Yeah, so that they're really good too.
Yeah, really good.
Danny, what do you do? You know, we're watching news reports. There's conflicting information. You can almost be addicted to the television, honestly, right now. Just And I think it just, you know, people really want their life to get back into what it was. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's going to look different. But how do we manage right information and the fear-mongering? How do you suggest we do that?
You know, that's absolutely critical because, you know, we're talking about self-care. We're talking about pruning.
Yeah.
One of the areas we need to prune is around social media and what we're putting in front of our eyes because, my wife calls it practicing media hygiene. You know, we wash our hands, we go through protocols to make sure we don't have viruses on us and germs in this season. We need to do the same thing with our eyes and our ears. We need to, and it may be people around us that are constantly negative and, those type of things. Because everyone's at a different place in this. And so some people are okay with the season. Some people are upset where we might be coming out of this too quickly. Some are not, you know, all those things. But with the media and the images, we have to realize a lot of the fear that is in the media and some of the information, the way they project it, some people respond to that. You know, there is some really good data out there and they analyze cell phones and all the data from our cell phones as far as how far we drive, where we drive. And they did it in relation to the number of COVID deaths. And when you see the graphs together, you see the more we started getting images from Italy about people laying in the hospitals, the immediate disconnect and drop in people driving and traveling. So we see social distancing increasing with some of the images. So it does work. We talk to people in the media, they realize we don't want to be spreading fear, but some people respond to this in a way that's protective. So what we need to realize is we've got to guard our own eyes and we've got to guard our minds. We got to make sure we are okay. Again, find the sources of information that you want to actually trust.
Right.
Look at those sources, gather data from that. Find people around you that have balanced approaches.
Right.
Those are the people you really process through it with. Don't just randomly put things out there. Make sure you're intentional with protecting yourself in these areas so you can separate what is fact and what is fear right now.
Right.
And make sure you prune away those things and keep the ones that are helpful. Because, you know, the boundaries are out there, you know, that we can set can really help protect us. And we want to make sure we have our minds in the right place.
Awesome. That's awesome. Really good. Really, really good.
Another question. Let's say I am a single adult woman living by myself, and I find myself feeling very lonely and isolated. What can I do to help my thinking get out of that funk?
So you're alone, you're in that funk and you just really have that hard time of just kind of looking at how things are. And I already talked about this a little bit with the external anchoring.
Yeah.
You know, we had a system that created, like, if you remember from biology, homeostasis, everything was just working. It wasn't perfect, but everything was in balance. I guarantee no matter who you are, we are out of balance right now. Right now we are at a place and some of us are holding our breath saying, when will this be over so I can go right back the way it was?
Yeah.
And some of us are trying to adapt. So it's a really complicated thing. And I work with actually a lot of clients in the situation you're describing where some people are just lonely, isolated and thinking, I don't have these areas of connection that I used to have. I used to have a few friends that could be around. And so, again, that is an area of self-care. Those are different domains that people can anchor to. They're different areas. Like we can anchor to our faith and what the word of God says. The one thing I tell clients is one of the worst strategies you have for mental health wellness is hope. Hope is passive. I hope things get better. I hope things just, but hope placed in scripture, hope placed in the character of God is the greatest anchor we possibly could have because God is completely unchanging. He's unmoved by anything we're going through and he is totally faithful. We can trust his character. So those are things that are a little bit different in hope, but our self-care, different domains, our faith, our family, our friends around us, what do we have influence over? Those are anchors. So, but a lot of us, you know, we can't go to yoga. Dancing is closed off. Churches are not meeting like normal. We don't have the normal connection. So we have this thing and now we're encouraged to distance socially. So that funk can really be there. So what I tell people to do is to be intentional and be proactive. Don't be reactive to things and just think, well, I guess it's not, you know, what can we do? What's in our inventory? What can we do to connect with people now? And then again, move in those directions, you know, you know, we can create the narrative for this season that we want. We don't have to just sit there and accept whatever is out there and say, well, I guess I can't be around people. I guess I can't. We really have to say, okay, I have to take the wheel.
Yeah.
Like I said, we took our foot off the gas. Now we have to get around the hazard, look at where we're at, put our foot on the gas, and intentionally put ourselves in the future in the direction we want. So two things that I really think are important, though, in your setting you're describing. One, really, really spend time intentionally supporting, you know, social supports that you can have, you know, finding that social support. And, you know, things are different. CGs are different. Find some CGs to be involved in. Find places you can serve and connect that are different. The natural ones now require intentional time. The natural connections are not natural anymore. Be intentional. Reach out. Talk to somebody if you need to, a counselor or whatever. We're more available than ever. So those things are easy to do. Don't assume other people are okay.
Yeah,
you know, check in with your people. Really connect with your people. Come up with a list of people and say, of all my friends, I'm going to connect with these five today. And every day, connect with five. And again, now you're intentionally reaching out to others. And the other thing really helpful is engage in what I call meaning making. In other words, add to the positives. Turn this around and spin it and say, look, I'm not going to just be sitting here. I'm going to do something. Find intersections. Where are the intersections between your gifts, your abilities, your resources, and human need right now? You know, someone's praying right now for the gift that you have inside of you. Someone's praying for that thing that you have that God put inside of you for this season. Where's the intersection? Where can you intersect with somebody? Maybe it's making masks, or maybe it is investing in people and trying to connect with some people in some certain way. But take what's on the inside and be outward focused if you have that opportunity. You know, where is that intersection? And then write your narrative about that. You know, don't get stuck in the negative. I mean, really kind of reframe it, you know, in ways, you know, even like Pastor Sharon, you were saying from the biblical perspective, what the Word of God says, even these negative things, you know, it's interesting. C.S. Lewis said, you know, God whispers in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscious, but he shouts in our pain. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world, you know, and I'm just reminded about it. This is a season where, you know, we can help be that megaphone. We can help people who thought they had total control of life and they had no need for any God in their life are now wondering, what do we do when things like this are going on? What do we do when there's this new insect that can kill a human flying around or whatever's going around? You know, all these things. I mean, we have to look and go, okay, look, there's something greater than this too. Isaiah 45:3, I love it, where it talks about the riches hidden in darkness. These seasons that we go through, there are certain things we learn about ourselves. We learn about God, our trust in God, that we can only get in these type of situations, you know. And even Hebrews 2, verse 10, talking about how, you know, God sent the one to lead people to salvation. He sent Jesus, and it says, who was made perfect through suffering. You know, Jesus, Son of God, made perfect through experiences that were negative, experiences that were not great, through suffering he had to go through. You know, it's creating something in us. We need to look at it that way. So when we're in that situation, don't just look at it as passively, I wish I could, I hope things get better. Turn it around. What can I do? Be outward focused, be intentional with what you do, and frame it through the character, the love of God, and that God's got a purpose in this moment.
Awesome. That's awesome. That. Really, really good stuff. I think that just helps all our mental health. We just start thinking about others and yeah. Focusing on others. It's amazing how the mood lifts in your own life. Just a final question. Any kind of, you know, helping just marriages in this season? I'm thinking about, you know, families that are at home a lot together, so kind of boundaries. And it doesn't have to be a spouse. You could be living, whoever you're living with, you're just at home a lot. But also just, you know, there's pressures right now for families and marriages like we've never had. How can we keep our marriages healthy? Or if we're not in a marriage relationship, we're just, you know, got roommates, how do we keep those relationships healthy?
Yeah,
we'll talk about both of those because it's really important that, you know, that system is okay. And again, there's more stress on that by nature of things changing. But, you know, in a marriage, we know very well there was no pandemic clause, you know, in the vows. So like there wasn't like, should there be a pandemic, you're released from this commitment, you know, that's just not there, you know? So, you know, we didn't know this would be coming. And so we want to really be, like I said, proactive, you know, and, you know, when it comes to the space though, we want to make sure we're creating some sort of structure, you know, as far as how the routine of the day goes. You know, I can't tell you how many 18 to 20 something year olds and teenagers I talk to, probably 100% of them go to bed 2-3 in the morning now, and they get up whenever, and yeah, all their friends are up, and that's when they're talking. You know, there's just no structure to their routines. And so the more structure we can create, it's different, is really helpful. I think one thing that's important for spouses and even roommates is to realize there's a need for distance.
Yes.
You used to have it naturally. You had a commute to work, different things. We need a level of distance. Don't internalize that in your partner. That's not because there's something wrong with you. Don't make it about why are they not happy here. They need this. I mean, expect it, create it, help them create it. And don't mind read. You know, don't get into this place where you're just going to help them, you know, hope they should know what I need. I hear that a lot. I mean, they should know, you know. Yeah. Mind reading is a bad way to go. Everything's different.
Yeah.
You got to communicate. You got to communicate. And don't blame your partner for maybe your own struggles. You know, sometimes we are lacking motivation and we turn to them and think, you know, why don't you help motivate me? And I wish you, you know, I mean, let's keep our stuff,
right,
not manufacturing new conflict. You know, let's make sure, let's not turn me issues into us issues. If at all possible, do things for yourself, like space. If you're, let's say you have to have the same space, if you don't have a separate, and someone's doing something, well, maybe it's artificial space, then you're going to put some headphones in or do whatever. But try to solve the problem yourself if at all possible, you know, and then try to get through that when you can, you know. But when you're talking about thriving in marriage, there's a couple things we can do right now when it's talking about connection with your partner. You know, we want that thriving nature. What can we do? You know, realizing to what we feed will grow, and what we starve will die.
Right.
That's a good thing to know in a relationship. So, you know, the more you can, if someone's doing something great in a marriage or your relationship, say something about it. I really appreciated this. In fact, intentionally, at least twice a day, say something you're observing in your partner. Be intentional, because the negative upsets the norm, you know, and so the norm is that, you know, you didn't wake up this morning and say, my right arm feels amazing.
Right.
You know, we wake up and the negative violates the norm. And so it's so easy for the negative in our partners to catch our attention, because they do a lot of things great. We need to train our minds to observe the positive and what we want to see grow. Like in a child, if they do something great and turn their assignment and praise them like they are a golden retriever that rescued a drowning child, like, and they will be like, man, I got a lot of good feedback from that. But for our partners, encourage it. You know, I mean, we hear all the time on social media, you know, well, the grass is greener somewhere else. And we know the grass is greener where we deposit it.
Right.
I mean, where we really put that money, that time into it, when we put that water into it, we feed it, those things too. But because, you know, our relationship is like that account, though. It's like a checking account. We cash checks out of the us account, you know, and we got to put deposits in there. We've got to spend time with each other, spend time investing in each other. And that's going to take some intentionality when there's change, you know. So we've had some different patterns and things. We've got to create some intentionality. I teach my clients that I see for couples work. The research tells us 6 seconds of passionate kissing per day is what's needed. It's really helpful. Now I have one client say, "Can I do that throughout the day in small?" I mean, that's not really the point. The point is 6 seconds at one time. I know that may be a stretch right now. I said to the couple, look, I got mints on the table and I have a very slow elevator. So lucky you. But 6 seconds is good. In fact, research about kissing mentions that men who kiss their wives goodbye in the morning live 5 years longer than those who don't.
Hey, wow.
That alone has some connection. So, you know, again, try to understand your partner, though. If you can understand your partner's experience right now with their world, you're going to communicate with them a lot better. You know, and my dad always said, you don't have to be an expert on women to have a great marriage. You have to be an expert on one woman.
Right.
And there is a lot of truth to that. One man, you be an expert on your partner, be an expert on those around you, and you're going to be able to understand that better. I have so many couples who read the Love Language book, and they know theirs. And I tell them that the point of the book is that you understand your partner's love language so you can give them love in that area. So, you know what those are, you know, but You know, what I tell a lot of couples too, is since you're around each other all the time, try to set up for yourself like a time where you talk about serious things, budget, needs in the family, whatever. I help them call, maybe call it like the State of the Union. And one, you know, maybe on a Saturday afternoon or morning, you have the State of the Union talk. Because what happens is when you're around somebody all the time, the incidental times you have get hijacked.
Right.
And we have to protect those moments. We can't be just finally getting the kids to bed, crawling to bed, and then, hey, you know, hey, what did you spend on Amazon today for 75? Okay, that's not good. Like, that's not a good time to have those conversations. We can't have those intentional. We got to have a really intentional time to protect what we have together. And so, you know, those things are really good to do. Make sure we have that intentional time, you know, because we want to make sure we have those moments where we can connect. And too often the urgent overtakes the important, you know, and the important is that we create those moments. We've got to have the dyad, the relationship that we have, be strong for it to flow out of that. And so we want to make sure we have those intentional times. We all learned that after first child, you can do whatever you want, whenever you want. I remember I created a playroom for my children. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. And I realized 3 or 4 months after they were actually moving around that that was my space and they had the rest of the house. And so you have to create intentionality. It's not just automatic anymore. And so really having those times, you know, I was, we're doing a video with my wife. I wanted to call it Quarantine and Chill, and she shot that down. But again, those are the things that we want to kind of do. We want to make sure we have protect intimacy, and not just sex, intimacy, time together, really connecting deeply, going for walks if we can, and having those times that are a little bit deeper and putting a value on that. Because in this season, you've got to have that intentionality. You've got to talk through some of the struggles, have enough safety to do that and not be defensive and work through those things in order to really kind of keep things strong.
Yeah, that is awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Danny.
Wow. That was a privilege. Thank you.
Wealth of wisdom right there. And let's give a virtual round of applause.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Really a privilege. Thanks for letting me join in.
We just loved it. And girls, I just want to say to you, thank you so much for being with us. And I hope that you walk away from tonight and go, wow, I just want some stuff. There's some things that I can put into my into my life. How about you?
Yeah, me too. Stuff? There's lots of things. I need to watch this over again.
Yeah. Good news.
With Darren.
But girls, right before we finished, I just wanted to read almost like a benediction. It's actually a blessing over you. Because I know the season's going to finish really soon, but I just wanted to read a blessing over you, and it's in Numbers chapter 6, and it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." Girls, we love you so much. We're praying for you. It's Mother's Day weekend. Hope all the mothers are spoiled. Don't forget our Sunday services across all of our campuses. And here we are. Life is going to only get better.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on "I Made a Decision" so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.